Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As you know, the date is the 8th of Safar 1446. Other areas of the world, it is the 9th of Safar 1446. And our honorable guest today and host later on in our programs, that is Hazrat Mulana Musa Lahir. Let's welcome Mulana Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Hazrat Mulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana, jazakallah khair for the opportunity once again.
Jazakumullah khair for joining us. Mulana, you sound like you're on a journey at the moment.
I'm driving.
It sounds like you're flying somewhere. So
No. Driving very slow in the neighborhood.
Okay, all right. How's the weather in Cape Town, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah, chilly and yeah. Alhamdulillah. Cape Town is very unpredictable. Yesterday it started off with beautiful sunshine, and by 10 o'clock it was overcast and threatening of rain. And yeah, that's Cape Town for you.
Mulana, we'd like to start off before we move on to our real topic, and that is the catastrophic situation in Sudan. Mulana did touch on other countries in previous weeks. Just to highlight, Mulana, what's Mulana's latest that is happening in Sudan. We understand that they have said this is the largest displacement crisis following 16 months of brutal conflict. And just a reminder to the Ummah, because we are so focused on Palestine, and yes, rightfully so, but we cannot forget and ignore the rest of the world. Mulana, just give us a little bit of what's happening in Sudan.
Mulana, I firmly believe this is one of the West strategies that, you know, they create a problem, which they've done undoubtedly, in Palestine, and all attention is focused there, and like you said, rightfully so. However, there are other areas of the world that face these problems. In fact, if you were following the news very, very carefully, I'm just going to give you an example of how attention is diverted from other places, and it's very, very minimal exposure in the media. What's been happening in Myanmar, in Burma, over the last few weeks? I mean, there's been a large upscale of atrocities that were happening out there. People were being assaulted, people were being killed, people were being buried alive. It's almost like that genocide reinvented its wheel once again. If you look what happened in Kenya as well, very similar thing, you know, several bodies were found. But yeah, you know, if we look now at what's happening in Sudan is perhaps on a level, if we had to describe it, I would think that Sudan is facing a much more severe crisis than what Gaza is actually experiencing. It's clear-cut internal problems and starvation tactics, and subhanallah, there are millions of people that are going through such harsh difficulties, malnutrition. You know, people don't understand malnutrition. We think that, you know what, it's just a starvation thing and that's it. But it's a very difficult and very painful death to endure through malnutrition.
Last time Mulana gave us that explanation of acute malnutrition, and that was quite beneficial, where we actually, I felt for the first time speaking over the airwaves that what that could have been. And often we just say these words, but we don't know the deeper meaning to it, the experiences of these particular people. It's just, is it a coincidence, Mulana, that it's only our Muslim countries all over the world that are being attacked? And as you said, these are tactics, how to drift our attention, but also with the bigger goal of eliminating through Islam, which they'll never be able to do.
You know, Mulana, there's a lot of conspiracies, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, although I will occasionally just pay a little bit of attention to some conspiracies that come up. But if you look at it, right, just look at it holistically. when COVID happened, the objective of COVID was to drop the population drastically. That failed. That failed to a large degree. And with the result, you know, you have to obviously go to plan B and plan C, right? So in Gaza, that is one of the major issues right now, is to drop the population of that 2.2 million people to as much as possible, to a bare minimum. Then you find, of course, what's happening in Sudan, where hundreds of thousands of people are being killed. And again, like you said, it's Muslims. Muslims are always on the back string when it comes to these type of targets, and just drop the population as much as possible. And so this is what we need to be considerate about, and we need to be we need to be conscious about it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us. But if you look at it, I mean, the Sudanese people, we cannot enter Sudan. So there's no aid going into Sudan besides from the United Nations or whatever it is. And, of course, we know that is always coming with a price tag on it. Now, you've got 255,000 refugees that are based in Egypt. Maulana, I want to make an appeal to listeners right now that Egypt, for South Africans, is very easy to visit. You don't require a visa. You don't require anything. There's no requirements whatsoever. You just go, you fly, they stamp your passport, and you're in. And it's an opportunity for us to go out there, to meet the people. Look, not everybody is in need, but there are many that are in need. You have to do a bit of homework and what have you. But once you find your feet in Cairo and you work with the good people, I mean, Cairo, I have to say, you have to be careful in Cairo, right? Just like every other place, you'll find some shysters, you'll find some good people. But if you find the good people that you're going to work with, subhanAllah, you can make a profound difference. And inshallah, I intend myself leaving in the September holidays to Cairo for dual purpose. One is the Ghazan refugees that are there, to which our hearts always bleed, but to start paying attention more specifically also to the Sudanese refugees.
Maulana, just as an idea, because Maulana has been quite a few times, and it also interests me as well. Last time Maulana said if we want to join, we can join. What would be the cost for a person to join?
So you're looking at your tickets, right? Maulana, tickets also depend. If you want to drive in a Toyota Corolla, or do you want to drive in a Mercedes-Benz? Unfortunately, that's the reality of it in today's times. So, you know, you can fly direct on Egypt Air. You can fly on cheaper airlines like Ethiopian Airlines, right, via Addis. The more expensive airlines at times, because obviously school holidays, is your Qatar and your Emirates and SAA or whatever it is, code sharing and what have you. So you're just paying for your ticket, your accommodation and your food and your transport. That's basically your own costs, you know what I mean? So your accommodation also, again, you can choose to stay in a five-star hotel, or you can choose to rent an apartment, which is not very, very costly in Cairo, in certain areas. And that's it. You can eat local cuisine. Food is not expensive there. Transport also, everything runs on Uber there. So because the petrol price, Maulana, you'll be shocked. It's like £10 a liter, which is about R3.50 a liter. So, you know, a decent trip will cost you maybe 40, 50, 100 pounds, maybe 150 pounds. Obviously, you have to be careful. You know, people are out there to make money, so you have to negotiate with everything. But if I had to sum such a figure for a week's trip, given that the flights are a little bit pricey in September, around the 13, 14,000 rand region, maximum 20,000 rand it will cost a person.
And if you see, Maulana says, we go to Durban over and over and over again, seeing the same things over and over again. But here's an opportunity to go and see. That's what Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, that when you want, you must see those who are below you, those who are suffering. So yes, and besides that, Egypt has such a rich history of Islam. Many sites are still preserved there as well. So alhamdulillah. Mulana, just one point before we move to our topic, where we said they are trying so hard to eliminate or extinguish the light of Allah Azza wa Jal. But as Allah's words are so apt, Allah says, وَيَعْبَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَيُّتِمَّ نُورَهِ. Allah rejects it, except that we will complete. Allah says, we will complete the nur. وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. The kuffar, they can grow in dislike, hatred, that doesn't matter. Just this weekend, Mulana, we went to Saker Boss. So at the moment, the grass is burnt there. So there's a beautiful drive, and you can go. It's about a 2-hour, 2.5-hour drive. You go on top of the mountain. So as we're driving, this non-Muslim, we got a bit lost also on the way in that. He was in front of us, a white person, and he stopped, and we were asking like how to, because we both were lost, it seemed. And we carried on then. Shortly after that, there were some branches. He got off the car to remove it, and I went to help him and that. And then afterwards, we carried on following each other. And towards the end, then he wanted to show me where's the hikes, and there's a museum there and that. So he got out of the car and he came to ask me. And then he's telling me also, he says, I just want to ask you one question before you go. And he's saying, you see this where the hikes are, just before you go there, there's a place there where you can have braai. I just want to know, if you go there, will you eat there? So I said, as Muslims, we won't. If the most we will do if we're going to eat at a place like that is we will take our own braai stands, and or we'll make our own blend, but we won't put our meat on the same braai stand that you put it on. And he was pretty happy with that answer in that. But so much of interest in Islam, it was just my lack of, I think I was just oblivious at that moment. I should have asked him for his number. But he was so interested in Islam, I was shocked. In that few seconds, he said, I just want to ask you this about the halal and haram. He even knew those terms. So this is just an ordinary person who I don't even know, but look how they are interested in Islam, and this is growing and growing and growing. This Gaza has woken up the world to show you that Muslims are not like how they make it seem on the news and that. So that was just aside this thing. Well, I'm moving to our topic now, and that is this about people, they are looking to take out life policies. And this is growing in our communities. Mulana, give us advice on this.
So, Mulana, you know, I won't say every second person that I'm talking to, but I've dealt with many, many cases more recently and even in the past, and I'm finding that a lot of Muslims are taking out these life insurance policies, right, which are worth millions of rand. Now, you think to yourself, okay, this person, mashallah, you know, he's driving a nice luxury car, he's living in a luxury home. And you know what, I think as South Africans and as the world at large, we need to stop being fooled by what our eyes are showing us, because 8 out of 10 of those cases, people don't own it. They don't own the car, they don't own the house, they don't own nothing. Mm. And COVID time was a testimony to this, Molana. I still remember when we went into that strong lockdown. Gee. And, you know, we had started a bit of relief projects for people that were really, you know, battling hand to mouth, people that weren't getting paid. But sometimes we were getting surprise calls from some of the more affluent areas. Gee. Like, you know what, I don't have food in my house right now. And you think to yourself, you know, when I'm going to an area like Houghton, how is it that you don't have food in your house? Gee. But the whole structure of the home has been based on credit, credit, credit. It's so easy in South Africa to live on credit that we have become fooled. You want a car, you buy it on credit. You know, I'm parked now here in an area that is surrounded by shops, right? In front of me is this, what, Dial-A-Bed and all of these places. You want to, if I walk into dial a bed now and I need a mattress and a bed set, I can go, I can buy it on credit, and I can walk out same time.
Gee.
I want to buy anything in South Africa. They've made it so easy. The rebar system of South Africa has become so easy that, subhanallah, people even look for loopholes and they say, okay, but it's your first house. You're allowed to take out a bond. I don't know where they got that from. Till today, I have no clue where they've got that from, because the Quran doesn't say that, you know what? Okay, riba is haram, but if it's your first house, your first car, we'll make an exception. There is no exception in the Quran and in the Hadith.
Gee, 100%.
You cannot go and. But then we've taken it, you know, Mona, I don't know if you get these spam calls. Every single day or every single week without fail, I'll see an odd number on my phone. Hello. And hello, sorry to take up your time, but I would like to tell you a funeral report. I don't even entertain it any longer. Before, you know, I used to tell them and I cannot take out these policies and blah, blah, blah. And then they say, and you tell them they're Muslim, but we've got Muslim clients. Now I don't even entertain it. The moment I hear it, I cut the call.
Exactly.
I cut the call, so I don't even speak. Half of them are computerized. But the reality is, I think a lot of Muslim people are getting involved in this. And now we need to break it down. Why are they doing this? And there's a reason, Molana. There's a reason why people are taking out these insurance loans or these life policies, which are worth millions of rand. And the reason behind it is, they understand that if a person dies with debt, it's a very severe warning. So now just look how they manipulate and concoct the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask, does this person have any debt? No, ya Rasulullah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would perform the salah. Does this person have any debt? Yes, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Has he made provisions? No, sallu ala akhikum. You perform the janazah salah. I'm not performing the janazah salah. So we know that after the janazah, maybe if people are sensitive, they'll wait 3 days. And after 3 days, they'll start haunting and hunting down the family that, listen, your husband, your father, your son, your brother, your uncle, your grandfather, whoever it is, they owe me so much of money. They owe me so much of money. What's the first answer you hear? Okay, give us just a month. We're waiting for the policy to cash out and we'll pay you. Now, if I was a creditor, right, and somebody had to tell me that, Mola, how do you feel knowing that, you know what, okay, this person owed me half a million rand, 100,000, whatever it is, right? It's your haq to request that money, and it will be your ihsan to overlook it and forgive it. But then this person comes and tells you, listen here, just wait 1 week. The policy is going to cash out, and I'll pay you immediately. So now you know you're getting paid from. I mean, really, are we trying to fool Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by, first of all, taking out these policies? Every single month you're paying. And subhanallah, you know, whatever the premiums are, whatever it is, I have no clue, because people are doing it intentionally. Intentionally. You know, they're paying these premiums, looking for the highest possible payout. Another point, Maulana, I want to mention very quickly. We've heard the ulama, our Honorable Hazrat Mufti Sahib, has also been of the opinion of this year, and I know it from channel days, that you don't need to pay your taxes with halal money. So if you are earning interest in a bank, then you can use interest funds to pay your taxes. That might be the fatwa, that might be everything. But I think people have taken it a level further. So now you're owing SARS millions of rand. So the easiest thing is, take out a life policy when you kick the bucket, or when whoever kicks the bucket, your father, sometimes they take it out on the father's name, the mother's name, and the parents don't even have a clue that, listen, my children have taken out a life policy on my name. And when they kick the bucket, when they pass on, the children cash out, and then they use this type of money to pay for the fees of SARS, of the revenue services, of taxes, of municipal bills, of whatever it may be. all we're doing is we're mixing alcohol and urine.
100%.
You know, it's not even urine and pure water. It's alcohol and urine. That's all we're doing.
Gee.
And I think people need to be cognizant of this here, and they need to wake up and sorry for my strong language on this here, Maulana, but honestly, as a Muslim, how do you go to bed knowing that you've taken out a policy with your grandfather who's on his deathbed, who knows nothing? He's dying with shahada, ashadu allah, but his grandchildren, his children, have made the greatest zulam and oppression on this grandfather by taking out a policy on his name.
Mulana, just now last week, in fact, I was driving. Now, the radio there in this, I don't know what's it with these cars. It just, when you're on the car, you press the button, it just goes to some radio. And sometimes it's pretty disturbing. You press the off button, but it doesn't, I don't know what's the whole thing behind it. So anyway, it goes, so I just put it on a radio which doesn't have music or anything. And I think it was on 702. They were having this discussion, and they were asking, so here's all about this life policy, but these are non-Muslims. So this caller phones in, and this person is an expert in this field, investments, where to place your money, and this and that. So the questioner is asking, and he says that, look, I'm still paying my life policy, but I've got enough money to keep me going till the end of my life. I've got more than enough. Should I still take out this life policy? And he even says, my children, they have so much of money, I don't think they're going to benefit from it either, because they've got and they're independent. So, or should I carry on paying for this monthly fee towards it? So here the so-called expert answers now. And he says, look, the one thing is, you do not have to, because you can see it's just money going wasted, and you say your children are independent, they're not going to even use much of it. So you can cancel it, you'll be saving money on your side, and it's seeming that will be the more fruitful situation for you. But he says that you must ask your children whether they want to have a hand in it, because if they pay for it, then when you die, they will have a nice package for them. So you must offer it to them. So this already tells you there's all the signs of riba. You're paying for something, they're going to pay for it, and now they're waiting for their father or mother to die because they know they're going to get a handsome package. And he says, this is what I would do in your situation. So exactly what Mulana is saying, that these are people who are, the grandfather is half, almost on the deathbed, and here you're taking out these policies because for your own pocket sometimes, and like Mulana said, to pay debts on other times. But really, this is riba, and exactly what Mulana said.
You know, Mulana, I think we have to go to the root cause. And the root cause is hubbu dunya and tulul amr. Two things. We have become so, you know, I know people are going to say, oh, these Maulanas, all they know how to speak about is love of dunya, love of dunya. But I'm not saying if Allah Ta'ala gave you and you want to drive a BMW or Mercedes-Benz, drive the BMW. There's no problem with it. If Allah Ta'ala gave you and you're living in a nice house, live in the nice house. But don't become so ambitious in your quest that, you know what, one is not enough. And the hadith says, when one, you give mankind a valley of gold, they want the second valley. They want the third valley. But our greed, that's where it becomes a problem. Our greed for more and more and more nice things. And I want to go to Paris. And I want to go to Dubai. And I want to go to Thailand. And I want to go here. But I can't afford nothing. So I just take everything out on credit. Credit, credit, credit. No problem. I got this life policy. This is my backup plan. So when Nana passes away, when Nani passes away, and already they look like they're on their way out, you know, I get paid out. I pay all these bills. So what happens? What are we teaching our children? That it's okay to live on credit. We have to stop this nonsense. We have to stop this whole perception of living on credit. Our fathers, our mothers, they will tell you, they wanted to buy a car, the car was was 10,000 rands, 5,000 rands. I don't know what the prices were those days, right? But you got the money, you buy the car. You don't have the money, no problem. Nothing stops you from taking out a halal loan. So I come to Maulana Zayed. I say, listen, Maulana, I really need a car. You know, that Camry of mine now is broken and everything. I need to buy this car. Maulana, borrow me 20,000 rands. I'll pay you back 2,000 rands every month. No problem. That is fine. That is no problem. But only when it's a necessity. Not that I've got 3 cars in my garage. And now I come to Maulana Zayed and I say, Maulana, you know what? That new 7 series, have you seen it? That i7, it's got this extra, and it's got this, that feature, and it's half hybrid and half petrol and this year. And you know what? The car is, it's not so bad. It's 2.5 million rand. Why don't you just give me half a bar? That's how old people talk. That's how old people talk. So I'm talking in the same language that you can understand. You've got 5 cars in the garage, but no, you want another one. You want a speedboat. You want jet skis. You want all these fancy things, but your pocket is only saying you can live on Albany bread, but no, you want to go buy Woolworths bread. That's where we've come from. That's where we've headed.
The other aspect also, Maulana, I just want to, it's been on my mind, and you, Maulana, you just chose the right topic for today. That is credit cards. People often say that, you know what, they give us that 45 days. So sometimes you need the credit card because you need to maybe fly. I don't know if they've changed it now for debit cards overseas or whatever, but before you could only have a credit card. So they say for that. But now, so you're already in that sphere of using your credit card. And it's tempting because you've got it. So they say, okay, 45 days, after 45 days is only interest. So now you start purchasing, and you have this mind to say, okay, before 45 days, I'll pay it so I don't have to pay interest. But you're already caught. And this, now you're putting yourself, like Maulana said earlier, you're purchasing this here mattress, this, that, the other, which you could have purchased with your cash, saving up, doing it the correct way, but this has just become tempting now. And then this is where the problem comes in. We've made so many purchases, now to pay it after 45 days becomes difficult. How do we manage this, Maulana?
Absolutely. Look, Maulana, I've got a credit card, right? I travel overseas a lot, and I need it. The reality is I don't touch my credit card whilst I'm in South Africa, and it's always on a positive balance. So basically how it works is they give you a 10,000, depending on what you require, right? But let's start from the bare minimum. I think it's about 8,000 rand overdraft. So meaning I can use 8,000 rand of the bank, and then I've got that certain period of time. I don't even know, Maulana, how many days it is, where it's interest-free, 45 days, whatever it is, and then you've got to start paying interest charges. However, I treat my credit card just like a debit card. So I will load money onto that credit card and keep it in a positive balance all the time. It never, ever goes into a negative. Right. I don't use it whilst I'm in South Africa. I don't use it anywhere here in South Africa. It's just there. The bad part is that it acquires also interest. So one is paying interest and one is acquiring interest. So you got to check it every month. Okay, 2.50 is the interest, or you know, whatever figure it is, and then you got to remove that interest on a monthly basis or a quarterly basis or whatever it is. But you need to be aware of that. You're quite right, Maulana. Credit card is like it's a dangerous, luring element in our lives. You know, if you have it, then you just want to swipe. And that's where it just leads you into a problem. But for businessmen who require it, yes, no problem. Have the credit card, keep it in a positive balance, treat it like a debit card. So you're only using your money. You're not tapping on a single cent of the bank's money. You're not getting involved in paying any interest. Yes, the bank will always pay you interest bare minimal. You keep it at the bare minimal so that, you know, you don't load it with 100,000 rands and now you're earning 500 rands interest or 200 rands interest a month or whatever it is. Now you've got a problem every month. You need to disperse of that debt. The 2 rand, the 5 rand is still bad, but you know that there's no monetary benefit for you. The moment you get caught up and think that, you know what, now I'm going to be earning 200 rand. And then they use these fancy things, you know, profit share and this and that. Just be careful of the terminology when it comes to so-called, I'm saying, Sharia-compliant banking. Mm. Where is that profit? How are they investing it? We don't even know. We don't even care. We're just seeing our bank balance is increasing every month. So, bismillah, you know, I've got an Islamic Sharia account. I'm getting profit share every month. Find out. Go to the muftis of our Ahlullah and find out. Listen, is this permissible? Can I use this money or do I have to get rid of it? 9 out of 10, you have to get rid of it. In fact, 10 out of 10, you'll have to get rid of it.
Mm.
So there might be a difference of opinion here and there, but just be careful.
Well, we appreciate your time. Jazakumullah khairan. I know you're on a journey going somewhere, but alhamdulillah, it's fruitful for us. And the ummah, make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khairan.